I'm Tyler, your Rum Chuck. Welcome into another edition of Inside the Crew. You're listening on btihockey.com and the Win Column Sports Network. I'm back after a one-week hiatus. For those of you who were sitting there last Thursday and went, hey, where the hell is my weekly Inside the Crew AJHL podcast? I was off in California, taking a little bit of time off, but I'm back, and boy, did I miss a lot around the Sherwood Park Crusaders. While I was gone, the team rattled off a five-game win streak that saw them not only sweep their suburb series with the Spruce Grove Saints with a 6-3 win and a 6-2 victory, just two dominant performances, granted some important players out of the lineup for each side, with notable names down at with Team Canada West at the World Junior A Challenge. Then they also went and beat the Okotoks Oilers by a score of 5-2, and that was a dominant and impressive win as well, just considering that the Crusaders didn't have a full lineup, and Okotoks did, and Okotoks is that team that's considered that third or fourth best team in the league as well. So a really good win against the Oilers, and then they rounded out their five-game winning streak with wins over Camrose and with one over the Fort McMurray Oil Barons last night. I have a full crew wrap of that win available right now on btihockey.com. I was at the game and they came out just blazing, and I mentioned it, but you can't make mistakes against this Crusaders team, and it doesn't really matter who's on the ice, but if you make one tiny little mistake when that top line is out there, you're probably going to have to pay for it, and that's exactly what happened early in the game. About a minute in, Fort McMurray just made one slight little poor pass in the neutral zone. The Crusaders scooped it up. Atwal, Zapernick, and White went to work in the offensive zone. They hemmed the mob in their own end for about 30 seconds, and then Atwal behind the net to Zapernick, banked it off the back of the goalie and in. And it was 1-0, and then it was 2-0, and then it was 3-0, and after 20 minutes, they dominated the shot clock, which they did at the end of, by the end of the game as well, but they had dominated the shot clock. They were peppering chances on Evan Fredette, who had to be sensational to keep that game at 3-0 or even keep that game close for a while there. And then in the second period, the Crusaders came out and they just didn't have much pushback, whereas the Oil Barons had a sense of desperation in their game. So maybe that's one thing this team needs to work on, and it's something I'm going to talk to with my guest this week, Jeff Wojwick, a Crusaders coach. He'll join me on the line in just a second here. But when there's this much success, I think sometimes you get out to a 3-0 lead and it's nothing intentional, but maybe that mindset of, here we go, boys, it's point night. Here we go, we're going to roll this team 7-1, because they have been rolling the Fort McMurray Oil Barons so far this season. And you wouldn't blame them if in their minds a little bit, they went, all right, this is going to be another win, guys. And their minds maybe slipped out of it a bit. They allowed Fort McMurray to get back into the game. And this was a 3-2 hockey game up until the final 5 minutes of the third period. And I kind of thought to myself, and there was someone I was sitting next to in the bar at the Sherwood Park Arena as well, who said, we're going to overtime tonight. Because it honestly felt for a while there like Fort McMurray was going to tie the game. But then again, Fort Mac just makes a couple of tiny mistakes. They give the Crusaders a 5-on-3 power play in the third period. Bang, bang. Carter Hart, Arjun Atwal get goals. The game's all of a sudden 5-2, and it's over, and the Crusaders grab another 2 points. Over this last stretch of hockey, in my opinion, they have cemented themselves as, I think, the best team in the AJHL. I honestly do. Like, the way they beat up on Spruce Grove twice, the way they were able to handle Okotoks while missing some key players, they're still, if you look at the standings, they're 7 points back of the Brooks Bandits, but they have 2 games in hand. No reason to believe they won't win those 2 games, and all of a sudden, they're 3 points back of Brooks. Brooks has had to go to overtime 4 times. They're 3-1 in those overtime games. The Crusaders have never had to go to overtime. Like, they're 33-0. You look at the Bandits, they're 33-1-1, but 3 of their 33 wins have come in overtime. So in terms of regulation wins, the Crusaders are tied for the top spot in the league. I think they have the better goaltender than the Brooks Bandits as well. Their forward depth is incredible. They have a good, solid blue line as well. And just look at the teams they've been beating up on as of late, and they're rolling right now. In terms of the North Division, the Crusaders are 6 points ahead of the Brooks Bandits for top spot, and keep in mind, the Crusaders have 3 games in hand as well. So it's been a dominant start. I think even the most optimistic Crusaders fan or observer wouldn't have seen this coming, and they continued it basically through the entire first half of the season now, and they're close to heading into the Christmas break on a record-setting pace. Inside the Crew on BTIHockey.com and the Win Column Sports Network, we're joined on the line by Crusaders coach Jeff Wojwicka. And Jeff, We'll start with last night's game against Fort McMurray. You guys just dominated that opening period, get out to a 3-0 lead, and then there was a bit of a pushback from Fort McMurray that started in the second period, and all of a sudden, I mean, with 5 minutes to go in the third period, that was a one-goal game. I guess my question is, with how much success this team has had early in the year, is maybe the biggest challenge for you and Adam Manna been that when things are going really good, just keeping them focused and making sure that they don't take their foot off the gas like maybe they did in that second period last night?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it seems any time we've gotten trouble this year, it's been in the second period. Whether we jump out to an early lead, get a few quick goals, or we run into a hot goaltender, it seems to be, you know, our second periods, we kind of let our foot off the gas and we don't really have that choke mentality where we want to close this out and add to our, whether it's a 1-2, 3-0 lead. We seem to, you know, whether in the second period we don't bear down on our chances to get that next goal, or we have a mental breakdown as far as, you know, defensively, we get a little casual. We're not aware of what's going on. We lose our assignment, and it just seems to bite us. And you know, good on us for coming back in the third and ramping it up. But got to give Fredette credit. He played well, and you know, he kept him in the game. And obviously, on the Fort McMurray side, they play hard and they want to beat you. And we're the team to beat right now as far as, you know, our record, and teams want to knock us off the pedestal.
You mentioned it. You guys are the team to beat right now. There aren't any games where the Crusaders are considered underdogs by any stretch. But there have been a few games over this last little bit here where, you know, you beat the Saints twice, you beat Okotoks once. And I remember going back to the beginning of the year, maybe the critics of the Sherwood Park Crusaders when you guys were 10-11-0 were sitting there and saying, well, they aren't playing any of the top teams yet. But so far this season, when you have gone up against the top teams, your group has played really, really good. How nice has that been to see over the last couple weeks that whether it's Spruce Grove or Okotoks on the other side, your team has the ability to raise their level of play even higher to go up against them?
Well, obviously, yeah, we're happy with our group and our consistency throughout the year. We know the crosstown rivals, Spruce Grove Saints, they're a great hockey team, and they haven't been really healthy all year, and nor have we, but we still know that, you know, come the end of the year, they're going to be right there, and they're going to be right there with us, and it's going to be a tough test with them. And even Bonneville, they're a good team too. So we're by no means are we in the clear of anything. Obviously, the record's good, and we love to, you know, be where we're at, but there's a lot of work to be done, and you know, the deadline's coming up to on January 11th here. So it's going to be, you know, teams will tweak their lineups a little bit, and you know, we're really happy with ours. We could do a little bit if Kyle feels the need to, but right now we're just, you know, it's encouraging for us to, you know, beat those, you know, be in the mix with those teams like Okotoks, Spruce, and we haven't seen Brooks yet, but that's another huge test that's coming in after the new year.
I want to key in on a couple of individual players, and I want to start with Mike Benning. Obviously, that's a big one with him being in his NHL draft year, and of course having you as a coach, someone who was in the NHL as a defenseman, that's a bit of a unique relationship, I'd imagine. But in his second year with the team, what are some of the biggest areas of growth you've noticed in his game?
Well, I just think he's doing things with, you know, a little bit more authority. Last year he got by too with his smarts, his you know, the way he read the game, the way he reads the game, as far as, you know, recognizing the next best player or recognizing danger in situations. But this year he's doing things at a little higher level, as far as, you know, he's passing the puck harder, he's moving his feet, when he's got the shot, he's really bearing down. His one-timers come along really good. He's put a lot of work in with that, and obviously he's got a lot of knowledge coming from home too, from the Benning side of the family, so he's not short of it at all, and he's getting the right information, you know, at the rink and when he leaves the rink too. So as far as him, he's only going to keep getting better. He's a player that's driven, and he's this day and age player where he's a puck mover. He likes to jump up, and obviously he's going to be going to college, and a couple of the best defensemen, and I think in the game right now are, you know, Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, and he's right on that path.
Carter Savoy is your group's other draft-eligible player, and yesterday there were a few moments where, you know, he was getting tangled up and he was getting pestered by the Fort McMurray Oil Barons a little bit, and the one thing I noticed is there was never a point where he was kind of giving the ref a look, like, what the hell are you doing? Why aren't you calling that? But then there was a moment at the end, I believe it was either the first or second period, where he just went up to the ref, and you could tell that they were just having a civil conversation. And in the back of my head, it was kind of like, you know what? Last year, I don't think maybe he would have done that. Have you noticed him maybe take a few steps forward in terms, I don't know if maturity is the right word, but it seems like he kind of carries himself a little bit differently this year in his second season.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's I remember the situation there for sure. I remember a couple plays where he was getting tangled up, getting pestered, and teams are going to do that to him. Obviously, with his numbers and the way he's scoring goals this year, he's a guy who's going to get checked hard, and he's going to have to drive through these checks the deeper we go here into the season. And he's doing a really good job. His maturity, his body language, everything's gotten better, and Adam's obviously showing him a lot of, video and gone over a lot of those things and really helped him out.
It's his draft.
Maturity. So, no, we're really happy with the way he's come along.
It's the draft year for those two, and that means a lot of extracurriculars. You know, it's the extra media attention. It's more scouts coming to games. They go to the World Junior A Challenge. They were in Russia over the summer. They got to go to the Top Prospects game. Have you kind of talked with them, and is it important to kind of keep tabs on them and make sure maybe they're not getting too worn out with all of this extra stuff going on?
That's a great point, Tyler. I think we don't understand that these kids are still 17 years old, and they've done a lot over in Russia, coming back here and playing a boatload of minutes for us and then going to Team Canada West. And now they're going to the CHL Prospects, CJHL Prospects game. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of grind. It's a lot of mental, fatigue on you. Both kids handle it really well. They're really, they don't let nothing really bother them. They come to the rink with a smile on their face. They take it a day at a time. But it's, you gotta wonder if it is, taking a little bit of, putting a little bit of extra stress on them. And this break, I think, coming up for Christmas will be great too. So I think for them, they just got to stay focused and be ready to go.
Another name on that blue line that maybe doesn't get a lot of attention outside of the team. I mean, Benning is the guy that jumps off the page with his numbers. But every time I'm at the Sherwood Park Arena, I walk away going, man, Reed Irwin was really, really good tonight. And I've had a couple of people now with the AJHL show go out of their way to say, that's a guy, he might be the most underrated defender in the AJHL. Like, if you don't watch him, you almost wouldn't hear about him. But I know he isn't underrated by you guys and your coaching staff and your group. How important is he to this team?
Well, I think just the way he escapes pressure in his own zone, the way he can hold lines, close out gaps, his skating ability is, it wears other teams out. Like, having to chase him around, he goes back for a puck, he gives you a shoulder shake, he tight turns it, he loses you, and then with his skating ability, he can have that separation of one or two stride lengths in a matter of short notice. So it's really impressive. He logs a lot of minutes. I've never seen a guy on his edge, so good. Like I noticed a couple plays even yesterday in the game against Fort McMurray. He was stopping guys. We tell our D to stop him at the, hold the blue line, but he was stopping him at the red line with his gap. Like he trusts his feet so much, and it's his he's got a load of confidence, and obviously for him, we're lucky to have him because I do think he's been a guy that we didn't know how good he was until we got him here and we've seen him skate and then obviously develop here. He's just come a long way and he's going to be a good player.
Before I let you go, Jeff, I want to touch on the goaltending a little bit. Last year, I always talked about it. It was a massive luxury. It must have felt like a massive luxury for you guys to, no matter who it was, Berlin or Guylander between the pipes, you knew you were going to get a great start and you knew you were going to have one of the best goalies in the AJHL between the pipes. Berlin goes off to the U of A where he's having some great success. And then it was a guy from the SJHL who maybe didn't have the best numbers in the SJHL in Jordan Fry, who was going to be taking over the backup position. And I mean, he's come in. And again, it's the same story as last year now. It feels like whichever goalie's between the pipes, you guys must know you're going to be given a chance to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're obviously with Carter there to start. He's a guy that we've been leaning on hard here, and he's got the experience from last year, and he learned under Matt Berlin, and he's just he's been a rock there for us. And then when he left recently to go to Team Canada West, Jordan Fry stepped in, and he obviously made a name for himself there because he just made us realize that we got two really good goaltenders, and we don't have to be looking for, you know, probably Kyle doesn't have to be looking for anyone in the near future here. So they've done a great job, and I know the boys in the room, they love the guys. They love working for them. They love battling for them in front of them. So they've won our team over in that sense, as far as, you know, they're going to compete every night, and they're going to give our team the best chance to win, regardless how many shots we give up.
Really appreciate your time today, Jeff. Good luck in the final two games, and enjoy the holiday season.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's Crusaders coach Jeff Wojwyka. That was awesome. I mean, we went a little long with him there, just around 11 minutes, but I loved his answers about when I threw the Carter Savoy thing at him, because I find it a little bit annoying when media guys are always harping on, you know, things like body language and stuff like that. But in a general sense, I think it speaks to, and again, maybe maturity's not the right word, because it's not like he was immature at any point before this, but the way Carter Savoy carries himself on the ice, there's just a different feel around him, and it's translating into confidence and everything like that. And I mean, it's a record-setting year for him. He's going to go down as one of the best players, I think, to ever play in the Alberta Junior Hockey League when all is said and done, and his name's going to be up on those record books as well. I like that Jeff touched on just how much there is going on for Benning and Savoy this year, and how they've been, and how well they've been able to handle that. Then obviously Reed Irwin was a big question I wanted to ask Jeff, because when I talk to people outside of the Crusaders, if they haven't keyed in on Irwin, they don't really know too much about him. But all they need to do is watch him for the 20 to 25 minutes he's on the ice for a game, and they come away going, that guy's legit. That's a guy you need on your blue line if you want to go on a run in any sort of league. It doesn't matter what caliber or level of hockey it is. You need a guy like Reed Irwin on your blue line. The Crusaders are lucky to have him. As I mentioned there, at the end with Jeff, they got a couple more games until the Christmas break. So here's what's coming up. They will host the Bonnyville Pontiacs. That will be a big game. That will be a good game this Saturday at the Sherwood Park Arena. These two teams have split the season series up to this point, and it's an even goal differential as well, with seven goals aside. That'll be a fun one to keep an eye on. And they are in Lloyd on Sunday, 3-0 against Lloyd. They've outscored them 17-5. In that stretch. Devin Horn has a crew wrap for you on Saturday night at btihockey.com. I'll be on the air, TSN 1260, 9 a.m. We'll be talking to Ethan Edwards from the Spruce Grove Saints, and we'll be talking to the brand new head coach of the Grand Prairie Storm, Ryan Aspen. So that'll be a good chat as well. Check it out. And of course, the podcast will be available on tsn1260.ca. Big thanks to Jeff Wojwyka. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Happy holidays to you and your family. Thanks for supporting Inside the Crew. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk, and I will talk to you next week.